Our last speaker of the night is one of the hosts of one of our other guests, Cinema Job Podcast, the greatest movies podcast ever, currently on on episode 336. He's another major contributor to the Chicago Podcast Co-op and the man who picked tonight's theme, Matt Kavinsky! Here we go for Dwight!
How about all, pretty much everyone in this room, all the talented storytellers before us? So I'm Matt from Cinema Jaw, and I was going to tell you the story about how I blew up my friend's mailbox three times, but given the goings-on in the news this past week, I decided to tell a story of love instead of strife. So this is the story of an 11-year-old boy, young love, and going to see one of the greatest American sequels of all time, Big Top Pee Wee. you guys know, movies are magical things. They have the power to transport us to another time and place. They can get us out of our own head, if only for a little while, help us forget our problems. The flash of a lightsaber on the Death Star, the thwap of Indiana Jones punching a Nazi in the face. These are indelible marks in my mind, and I revisit them often. So with Apple recently announcing that it may allow people to rent new movies at home, circumventing the theater system, the film critic in me with two kids says, okay, you know, that sounds like a good idea, but the movie lover who loves going to the theater is mourning the inevitable end of an era. So while what's on the screen is ostensibly the reason we go, the setting of the theater is what's important. And often overlooked, it's underrated. It's a very important ingredient in the magical spell of film. And maybe it's the darkness, the cool temperature, the smell of other people and popcorn, just the not being at home that makes it so special to me. But whatever it is, it has been the setting for many, many dates. So in 1985, Tim Burton burst onto the scene with one of the strangest and most delightful comedies ever made. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. No one saw this movie coming. It has become an absolute classic that holds up today. 3 years later, when the sequel Big Top Pee-wee was announced, I knew it was a no-brainer. I needed another trip into that surreal world of wonderful bikes and clay-faced truckers named Large Marge. And by the way, she still freaks me out to this day. So I was 11 by this point, and I had begun to discover girls. Going to the movies had taken on all those new connotations for me. And while I was still, like, really naive, I knew that I had to bring a date. So I grew up in a tiny suburb of New York City called Connecticut. And there was a girl who lived on my street that would have had a poster right next to Indiana Jones and the Ghostbusters if they made posters of people on everyone's street. She could ride her bike the fastest. She could win all the foot races. She was always first in line when the ice cream man turned down our dead-end lane. She was the girl next door, and she was perfect in every way to my 11-year-old self. She had to be. She was the only 11-year-old girl in my neighborhood. So I knew I had to ask her to join me for a wonderful evening of Pee Wee Herman. So I walked up self-assuredly to the woman in my life and executed the pinnacle of preteen pickup lines. Mom, can I bring the girl next door to the movies? So my mom couldn't think of a good reason why not, so she picked up the phone. To my horror, she was calling my best friend's mom. What the fuck? I said the girl next door. So once she had secured my best buddy as a chaperone, I guess, she did call the girl next door's parents. I couldn't stand to listen. It's all set, she said. A few hours later, I was in that darkened theater about to watch Pee-wee turn up the heat with the girl next door and Jeremy and my mom. So there's no hand job at the end of the story. I remember some of the movie. It isn't nearly as good as A Big Adventure, but in that day, what was on the screen was completely immaterial. My palms were like fire hoses as I contemplated going as far with a girl as I could even imagine. It was obscene. It was scandalous. I was going to reach over the cup holder where my Dr. Pepper sat, ice melting between us, and hold her hand. as I was contemplating my big move, waiting for just the right beat in the film, constantly drying my hands on my 1980s jam shorts. I felt her stir beside me. Her arm moved as if in slow motion, reached out boldly, and grabbed my hand. She had made the first move. And what a relief. Obviously, in that setting, she and I couldn't discuss what this meant for the future of our relationship. I was alone with my own thoughts, which mostly consisted of a burning self-consciousness about my slimy mitts, and how on earth am I going to eat my jujubes with just one hand? So this is a memory, it's a great memory, and many of you probably share it. And I wonder where my children will hold hands for the first time. So enjoy the theater experience as much as you can before we're all just fat, screen-married blobs in flying wheelchairs like in WALL-E. It's going to happen one day. And for those of you who question why I did not have the courage to be the one to make the first move that day, you may call me a coward or a mama's boy or worse, to which I say, I know you are, but what am I?
My mom, when we were little, she would just hit record on some nights, like when we had Cinemax or whatever. And Big Top Pee-wee and Big Pee-wee's Big Adventure were like, so on this videotape that were in the house, and like, that's one of the first, those movies are like the first ones I had ever seen, like multiple times, over and over and over. And yeah, still love them to the day. They're interesting movies, that's for sure.